The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike Elam sitting in for Annie today. Appreciate Mark Harder coming into the studio and talking to us a little bit about St. Louis County and all the stuff they have going on there. Go a little bit further west, and we're going to run into St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, who's joining us on the phone. Steve, how are you?
Fine, Mike. Hope you have a happy new year.
Well, Christmas was good, but then after Christmas, the whole family got sick, so that kind of stunk. But
that's going around.
Yeah, there is a lot of that I'm finding. I'm hoping it's not bird flu, but I haven't grown wings yet or feathers, so I don't think it's that. I'm really not sure what bird flu really means, but I did cut back on eating chicken. We did something.
I don't know what it means, but I don't really want to find out either.
Yeah, I'm with you. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. Santa Claus is very good to us.
There you go. We did something a little different this year. They being the rest of my family, decided that we were going to go Italian for Christmas this year. So we ended up heavy pasta. And I don't think anybody really planned out the protein of this meal as much as they would have liked to. So after we did like a late lunch, like around 1 o'clock thing, once you hit about
fell asleep while you were opening your present.
Oh man, about 2:30, everybody's just kind of looking at each other like, I'm going to lay on the floor and take a nap. So,
well, you know, turkey's just as bad on Thanksgiving.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but you don't have to do anything after Thanksgiving meal.
That's true. You don't have anything else that's going on there. So, but it was all good. You know, what's very funny is my 3-year-old grandson, had one request for Christmas. His one request was he wanted Santa to bring him Blues tickets. And I'm like, seriously? So Santa brought him Blues tickets. And at the Blues game the other night, he got to go to his very first Blues game, which was very exciting because he and my son will sit and watch the games because my son will work with the video crew in the building from time to time. So they got to sit in and watch the Blues game in person, and they have video of him going, "Let's go Blues!" And he was all into it. It was really cool.
That's great. Well, that was great as Santa, because I've heard he's an Edmonton fan, actually. you know, the best thing about Christmas is when you have kids around. And right now in our family, we don't have any young ones in the family right now. And it's just different. It's more fun when the kids are there.
I'm with you. When you have little ones around, it just gives you a whole other thing. I thought it was funny when I asked him, I said, "Hey, did you get what you wanted for Christmas?" He did. He said, "I did, Grandpa. I got Blues tickets, but Santa accidentally brought me toys as well." Accidentally. Okay. That worked out pretty well. Do you have big plans for New Year's? Are you guys doing anything fun and exciting or going to stay home?
We're boring people. We're going to stay home.
Boring people. We don't want to get out on amateur night, I think is what I heard.
That's right. And I hope everybody is careful when they're out there.
Hey, I had a conversation to kick off the show today with Mike Kehoe. He led us off, and we were talking about his priorities and things that he wants to get done right away. And you had a blog where you actually wrote down 8 things that were on your wish list that you want to happen in 2025. But what was kind of surprising to some people, might be surprising to some people who haven't paid attention to what you talk about on a regular basis, is a lot of your wish list wasn't really St. Charles County focused as much as it was for the St. Louis region, and in particular, the city of St. Louis.
Well, I've got two that are St. Charles centric, and yeah, the rest are regional. And you know, I've said this 100 times already. I mean, we're doing well out here. We'll continue to do well. But eventually, everybody who wants to move here will move here from St. Louis, and then we'll be no growth, too. We've got to get the region going. And that's why I got some ideas I think might do that.
So when you came up with this wish list, how did you prioritize these things?
I didn't. I put the two St. Charles ones first, and the one first one on the list you can talk about. You don't really need me. This whole East West Gateway Council of Government. We've got 125,000 more people than the city of St. Louis, but have one less vote. And I didn't realize it until I start looking. There's actually, you know, we pay dues based on our population,
right?
Not on our votes. We pay dues based on our population, and half of what we're assessed, the state pays. And the state pays that because there's a statute that says they can and actually puts a limit on it. So I went into that statute and just added a little language and hoping that if it's passed, it would require them, if they want the state money, they've got to reapportion and do it based on population, just like we do everything else.
Do you think that's actually going to happen? Do you think we actually have the possibility of getting that done?
Well, I would hope that our delegation would see that as something very important. Now, I know, in the past, I think we've gotten our fair share down at East West Gateway, in spite of the fact we didn't have the votes. But it's going to be different down there because this whole loop trolley thing. Now they're telling us if we don't make that work right, we could lose future funding for transportation. So you know, the next time a loop trolley thing comes up, instead of going along with it because it didn't really impact us, we're not going to be able to go along with it because it does impact us if it fails. So. That's a short answer to a question that requires probably a more lengthy one.
Well, one of the things that you put on your wish list was Lambert Airport. Talk to me a little bit about the Lambert situation, because that gets confusing in a lot of people's minds.
Well, you know they're going to spend a couple billion dollars improving it. And 30 years ago, I offered a bill to put the airport under regional control. It didn't go anywhere. When the Democrats were in control, and the Republicans really haven't done much about it either. And generally, it's not been a problem. But when you look at the city of St. Louis and see all the other things that they don't seem to be able to do, it's kind of amazing that we don't have more problems at the airport. But you're never going to get people to think this is important until people realize that the city of St. Louis, back in 1927, bought the land, and they used government obligation bonds to pay for it. And for the next 20 years, they used GO bonds. They never had to go into their own bank account, but if the airport had failed, they would have had to. But since 1959, that airport has been supported totally by revenue bonds, which means the city hasn't put a dime into it, hasn't been at risk for a dime, and the money has come from the federal government or from us, the users, by user fees, which we pay to the airlines that then they pay to the airport. So that's fine. That's the way it is. But everywhere else in the country, except for a few airports, and Lambert's one of them, the money that is raised to that airport needs to be spent in the airport. When that bill was passed by Congress in 1983, there was a grandfather clause that allowed St. Louis to continue to take, I think it was 5% of the gross receipts out of the airport. And today, they still take $6.5 million that is raised in the airport, and they take it down and put in their budget in the city. And even with that $6.5 million, we know all the other things they haven't been able to get done. So I think the first thing we should do to educate people is have a bill that will go ahead and say, hey, if you make the money with the airport, you need to spend it in the airport.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And I know education is very important to you. You're a former educator. Your wife's a retired educator. But one of the things you put on your list was St. Louis Public Schools. And some people may wonder, okay, why does the county executive of St. Charles County care about what's going on with St. Louis Public Schools?
Well, because the county executive is 74 years old, and he was around 30 years ago when we had the same problem. And they had the whole DSEG program, you know, with more than $1 billion the state had to put into the these failing districts and everything. And one of the things that the Republicans accomplished when I was the Republican leader in the Senate is on the DSEG bill, we got language in there that we didn't want to send that money to the elected school board down there because we thought they were wasting it. And we set up a system where the Board of Education could appoint a special advisory board. And unfortunately, it took a while for them to do that. But when they finally did do it, they got, I remember Rick Sullivan was one of the people that the governor appointed. And there was two others from St. Louis. They did a tremendous job. And within 5 or 6 years, with the help of the superintendent, they went ahead and they got the economics in line. They got the finance all straightened out. Now, they still weren't able to get the test scores up, but at least the buses ran on time, and at least, you know, they were able to not have a deficit like apparently they do now. And that statute that they used to do that 20 years ago is still on the books, and I think it needs to be amended a little bit. But even as it is, I think State Board of Education could send a group of three people in and get the same result, hopefully, that they did before. At least get the finances in order so we can spend all of our time trying to educate the kids, not just to provide a facility for them to sit around during the school day.
We're talking with St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman. Steve, I know you and Mike Kehoe have known each other for a very long time. And there seems to be a lot of very positive feelings that I just feel like are out there right now about what Kehoe is going to be able to do. What are your expectations of how do you think he's going to be able to affect things coming in?
I'm very optimistic, and yeah, I met Mike first when he was on the Highway Commission, and as you know, we spent a lot of time working with MoDOT, and St. Charles County wouldn't be what it is today without MoDOT.
That's true.
So I got to know him there, and then he ran for Senate. So he was, I think he became the Republican floor leader in the Senate, and then was appointed lieutenant governor. And during COVID, Mike, I think you probably remember this. I think you called me on a couple things where there was a problem, and I didn't even try to call the governor's office because every time we did that, we'd get caught in the bureaucracy. But I would call the lieutenant governor, and he would go and talk to the governor, and every situation, we got it straightened out. And I think it's because, again, he's familiar with St. Louis. He's familiar with the things that make us different than Polk County or Cole County or any other county in the state. And as governor, I think that's going to be a big plus for us. And, of course, you know, I've been so concerned about the crime issue in the city because it reflects on the entire region, not just the city. And I had hoped by now, after 3 years of discussing it, Jefferson City, that the city would have been concerned enough about losing control that they would have gone ahead and hired those 300 additional officers that they need, and they would have gone ahead and made some changes. But they don't seem to want to do that. They don't pay their police officers as much as the rest of us do, and I think it was your I was listening to your station here earlier in the day, and you've got Springfield, Missouri, advertising. They want to hire cops.
Yeah.
They want people from the region to go down there and be cops. Well, I mean, I think if there's people around here who want to be cops, I'd like to have a shot at them either in St. Charles County or even more so in the city of St. Louis, because that's where they're needed.
Well, there's definitely, when Mark Carter was here just a little bit ago and we were talking about, and you live this on a daily basis, we're fighting for employees on a regular basis, just trying to keep our employees. And it's weird when you're in local government, you don't want to overpay for a position, but you can't underpay because you'll lose your good people. And then you just can't be efficient in how you're trying to get the services that, that people expect. So there's a balancing act that you have to go back and forth on.
Well, you know, we do everything we can to be competitive, and thank you for your support on that. But, you know, occasionally we people move on from here, and they usually it's usually to a bigger and better job. And, you know, I see it as a compliment to us. I mean, if it's all we had around here is people that nobody else wanted, that wouldn't be good either.
It's true.
So, yeah, you know, and of course, you know, we had Robert Myers, who actually left us a couple months ago, and I was very disappointed that he did and took a job that was a promotion, but he didn't like it. Came back 3 months later, and we're glad to have him back.
We are very glad to have him back. I was very excited about that. Well, Steve, I appreciate you taking some time to be on with us today. We'll see if Missouri's going to be able to pull out a win in that bowl game, and we'll see how that works out. I'll have to catch up. Scooter had asked a question that said, does Elmet have any thoughts on early voting in St. Charles County last November? So that's one I'll put in your back pocket, and we could talk about that the next time that you're on.
Sounds good. Hey, M-I-Z.
Z-O-U. Good luck with that. My best to you and Gene and the boys. So have a great New Year's. And I will see you Friday for the 10th anniversary of the St. Charles County Police Department.
Yeah, we got a great story to tell on what's happened out there in the last 10 years, and we'll be talking a lot about it
and
next month.
Governor's going to join us, so it's going to be fantastic.
And the governor-elect is going to join us.
That's right. All right. Steve, we appreciate you being on. That is Steve Elman. He is the county executive of St. Charles County. I always like to talk about St. Charles County. I know some people are probably like, get over it, man. Nope, that's kind of what we're here for. We're going to talk about what's going on well and what's positive, and hopefully other folks from around the region will share on that and join with us and try to make sure that we're all moving forward. What's good for the region is good for all of us. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk.